I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. It's Monday, January 27th. You're listening to the College Football Daily, a 24/7 sports podcast dedicated to catching you up on and breaking down the day's college football news. My name is Trey Scott. We've got an interview coming up with Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy. Why did we reach out to Coach Mike Gundy? Well, first of all, he's a great person to talk to, always has a good quote or two. But secondly, the other week on the podcast, we had 24/7 sports writer Chris Hummer on. Chris named Oklahoma State as one of the winners of the offseason, given that star running back Chuba Hubbard, who led college football in rushing, and star receiver Tylan Wallace, who was a Biletnikoff runner-up 2 years ago, were both returning to school rather than going to the NFL. So I'm excited for you guys to listen to our interview with Coach Gundy. Before then, though, real quick, and I know this is not an NBA podcast, but it is a sports podcast, and I'd be remiss if we did not touch on the biggest sports story of a very young decade. But in 10 years, I don't know if we'll get another one this big, this sad, this tragic, that Kobe Bryant, an NBA legend, was killed Sunday in a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California. Among those dead is his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna Bryant. ESPN reports they were on their way to a travel basketball game. Gianna was a talented basketball player herself. You're consuming this podcast. You've consumed probably plenty of sports news in the last 24 hours. You've read all the Kobe stuff. You've watched all the Kobe stuff. You've listened to people who actually knew Kobe or played against Kobe or with Kobe talk about it. But fourth all-time in scoring, five NBA titles, two finals MVPs, 81 points in a game once. And just for so many people, a defining sort of enduring icon in sports and in basketball. And maybe you're listening to this and you once, you know, wadded up a piece of paper and threw it into the wastebasket and said, Kobe. Or maybe you're listening to this and you decided once you wanted to, you know, kind of change numbers mid-career or whatever. I don't, I mean, Kobe had the people who loved him. And of course, obviously had his people who didn't like him so much either. But for anyone who was growing up when Kobe Bryant was ascending to the NBA throne and when Kobe was three-peating with the Lakers with Shaq in a love-hate relationship, I think it's pretty clear he'll go down as one of the greatest athletes that we ever got to watch. So I wanted to mention that before we got to our interview with Mike Gundy. And here it is.
You've reached Oklahoma State University. Please enjoy these classic music selections performed by the OSU Men's Glee Club, Orchestra, and Concert Band.
All right, Mike Gundy joins us now. His Oklahoma State Cowboys have been deemed a winner of the offseason, given the returns of Chuba Hubbard and Tylan Wallace, and are getting some buzz as a dark horse playoff team in 2020. Coach, how does that all sound to you?
Well, I think it's awesome. We're very fortunate that we have a good group coming back, and they've worked hard, and I said this the other day. I don't know where I came up with this quote. It kind of popped into my head during some media interviews. But we've got a spot in the gate at the horse race at the Kentucky Derby. We got 9 months of training, so when those gates open, we can run hard and finish. But we got a lot of work ahead of us. But with all these guys coming back, a mature team, quarterback coming back, gives us a chance to definitely get to the post.
I was going to ask you about your Kentucky Derby quote. How many times in your tenure have you sort of you emerge from one season and you already kind of know in January that you're going to be really good next year. I would imagine headed into 2011, you knew you had Brandon Whedon coming back. You knew you had Justin Blackman coming back. You were replacing Kendall Hunter with Joseph Randall, who got some run. And then probably again with Mason Rudolph that year when him and James Washington came back. But how many times or how special is it as a college coach when it's January and you already know you're going to be pretty good?
It's a fun time. We go through cycles here at Oklahoma State. And we all know this. If you have a really good culture and you run a good organization, you have quality players, you have a shot every year. But to get to a point where you can potentially finish for a conference championship, you have to have NFL players on your roster, in my opinion. You have to get great quarterback play. So we're going to have a number of guys on our team next year that are good enough to play in the NFL, and we have a quarterback that's coming back from 12 games of experience. So when you have that set up, it gives you a feeling that the next year could be pretty special. Put the hard work in, keep everybody's attitude good, and gives you a chance to compete for a conference championship.
On the flip side, I like how you said you go through cycles. I don't think fans appreciate that as much as college coaches might. Every offseason, fans start to kind of talk themselves into 10 wins, regardless of which program they root for. How do you sort of level expectations with different fan bases or with your fan base? And you kind of, okay, well, if you didn't get Chuba or Tylan back, you know, maybe do you tell yourself, all right, this is a reload year or what?
If we would have gotten one back, you still have the shot for the expectations based on health and how your team holds up to give you a really, really good chance. I think most fans know how teams go through cycles. They just don't want to believe it. But again, I go back to we have to have a certain number of players on our roster, whether they're seniors, juniors, and sophomores who are potentially good enough to be in NFL camps. That gives you a chance to compete at the highest level, because if you look at who's winning conference championships, Oklahoma's won a bunch of them lately, Ohio State, obviously Alabama and LSU. So those guys are playing with a number of NFL players on their roster. For example, LSU had however many in their senior class and then nine guys come out early. So that's a big number. It's difficult to compete with teams like that if you don't also have guys on your roster who are good enough to play in the NFL.
Right. So tell me about those conversations with Chuba and Tylan. How looped in were you on that? And maybe how did you celebrate the news that they were going to return?
Rob Glass, our strength and conditioning coach, he's tied in more with our players that have the potential to come out early to the NFL. And he has discussions with them starting in October. He ties in general managers, directors of scouting for each organization to give them the information they need, I should say. We sit down with them, talk to their parents, talk to them. In Tylan's case, if he wouldn't have gotten injured, I think he would have come out. He would have been I'm pretty certain he'd have been a second-round pick. I feel like he would have thought he was ready to go. The injury setting back from a performance standpoint, can't run a 40, can't have a pro day, can't work out. So that would have knocked him down to at least the fourth round, maybe later. That discussion, even though it wasn't just a slam dunk, when we gave him the information, he was fairly certain he wanted to come back, which he did. Chuba's went deeper because he was in a position that people really didn't know where he would go. Middle second round all the way to fourth round, a dramatic difference financially up front in those rounds in the draft. What we told Chuba was, you're only 20 years old. You've only played 15 games in American football. You have a chance to develop yourself into a first, second, and third down back, which in the NFL, if you're a first, second, and third down back, you become way more valuable. So he had the most upside, in my opinion, of any player that we've had here deciding to return for another year.
Have you ever just sat across the room from a player and been like, hey, man, you got to go?
Sure. Sure. We did that with my suggestion with Whedon and really Russell Okun, who was the sixth player pick, Blackman. When those guys talked about it, and they asked my opinion, which a lot of times they don't. In their case, I said, guys, you should probably just come out. And then they would ask a question, and I would say, for example, they would say, well, don't we have a chance to up our stock? Sure you do. You will up your stock. But well, I certainly understand if you're coming out, you're going to be a first-round pick. So in my history, I've always said if we know a player has a high percentage of being a first-round pick, he should come out. Sometimes you have guys that want to come back and finish school, like Russell Okung. He would have been a late first-round pick. He wanted to finish his education. So he comes back, he ends up being the sixth player pick in the draft. So he makes $3-5 million more up front. He has his education. He hit a home run. Guys that are middle to late second round picks, that's where the debate starts, in my opinion. Because if you're a middle to late second round pick and you come back, you're another year older, more mature, stronger, faster, then you're probably going to jump in the first round. You're talking about a lot of upfront money. And I don't think the public realizes the NFL does not want players to come out early. When they come out when they're 20 years old instead of 21 or 22, that puts a lot of pressure on them and whether to draft them, if they're mature enough, if they're physical enough. There's a lot of things that can work against them. So the NFL would prefer these guys stay in school all the way till the end. That gives them the best chance to evaluate them, and they know what they're dealing with for the big picture.
So I feel like in the last maybe 10 years, there's been this change in perception of we've just sort of started to assume that players, if they're draft eligible, are going to come out. And Chuba, our running back in particular, is a really good example of that. I'm sure you saw Clemson's Travis Etienne. He kind of got some blowback for coming back. Alabama's Najee Harris was a surprise too. So just to kind of follow up on that, like as a college coach, I wonder what you think about the perception, maybe it's national media, that draft eligible players are wrong or silly or dumb to not just take money and run.
Every situation is different. Family background, potential injuries, position you play. You can even go into what kind of year it is in the draft. I mean, some years are they got tons of wideouts coming out. Some years it's a thin draft at the wideout position. If you're a wide receiver, that should all be taken into account. And each one of these guys, like Russell Okung, wanted to graduate, okay? Last year, Justice Hill was here, came out early. He's already graduated. So particularly a young man that graduates on time and has an extra year, in most cases, they're going to come out. You're seeing a lot of that, and those are things that aren't talked about in public. So each case is different, depends on the demeanor, depends on the family, the background. Some of these guys like being in college. They don't want to mess with the pressure of the NFL. So it's really hard to pinpoint or say that they all should just do this or do the other. It's just so based on their history, their background, and what they feel. There is a trend for guys to come out more so than ever, but you're also looking at percentages of some players that come out that don't get drafted, or they get drafted in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round, which if you get quality information from NFL GMs or directors of scouting, they will tell you, in most cases, if you get drafted in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round, you're just looking to play your last year of football, because there's 53 chairs in that NFL room on each roster. There are no seniors graduating like in college, and those 53 guys don't want to give their paycheck up. So they're not looking for somebody to come in and take their spot. And players that are free agents, or particularly sixth or seventh round picks, in most cases have probably decided to play their last year of football in college because they're just not making those positions.
That makes sense. Coach, if a player went undrafted, do you believe he should be able to come back to school?
Yes. I think they should be able to come back in an undrafted situation, because that means that team didn't burn a pick on them. Now, if you decide to go and you're the second to last player picked, then it's tough cookies because that team burned a pick on you. But if nobody burns a pick on you and you're a free agent, you should be able to come back to college because you didn't hurt anything. That's my opinion on it, because we don't want young people to make mistakes and have to live with it forever. Sometimes they get bad advice, they make mistakes. Okay, you didn't get drafted. Come on back.
I agree with you, Coach. Last question, and this is a kind of off the wall one. My colleague, Evan Daniels, had one of your colleagues, Oklahoma State basketball coach Mike Boynton, on his podcast and asked him, if you weren't coaching, what would you do? And Mike Boynton said he'd be running a morgue. So I kind of have to ask you, can you top that? If you weren't the head coach of Oklahoma State, what would you be doing?
I would be farming. I live on a 110-acre ranch. We farm. We run some cattle. We do a lot of things. I love being outside. I love farming. I would not be able to sit in an office in a business and be inside all day. So it would definitely be farming, and would probably enjoy doing it and live to be 100 years old while I was doing it.
I kind of thought you might say that. Thank you, Coach.
Okay, y'all have a good day.
That'll do it for today's episode of the College Football Daily. If you appreciate what we're doing, please drop us a 5-star review or a 5-star rating. I think they're kind of different, but sort of the same thing in Apple Podcasts. We've got a fun few weeks planned for you guys. Recruiting is really picking up with signing day right around the corner, second signing day at February 5th. So make sure you're listening every day to get some good stuff from us. For Connor Tapp, for Tawny Levitt, who's our producer, and for Mike Gundy, I'm Trey Scott. We'll see you on Tuesday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.